More than 2 months have gone by since the women's marches. Commentator Mildred Antenor is thinking, now what?
On January 21st, one day after Donald Trump's inauguration, women from every continent gathered to voice their disparity with Trump and his ideology. This type of protest has never happened before, where women from all over the world stood in unity to protest for a common cause. They marched in Washington, D.C., in New York, Thailand, Kenya, Peru, Australia, Sweden, and there were other countries that took part in this unprecedented event that are too numerous to mention. Women of all ages, all walks of life, professional women, housewives, students, daughters, grandmothers, the list goes on and on. Most walked, but some who couldn't came with their walkers in wheelchairs. They walked and proudly called themselves feminists. And I must say, what warmed my heart in a most special way was to see the huge number of men who walked in protest too. They showed the world through their act of participation that a man can indeed be a feminist, and being one does not take away from his manhood. These are men who understand that women make up 50% of the population. And they understand that the unadulterated definition of feminism is simply this. A feminist is someone, male or female, who advocates the social, political, legal, and economic rights for women. I'm sure that that was a teaching point for so many who have been confused by the term and deem feminists as angry, man-hating women wanting to emasculate men. Well, that historic march was 2 months ago, and so now we're faced with a pivotal question. What happens now? What do we do going forward? I might add that it is hopeful to know that in 1913, when 5,000 women took to the streets in Washington to march for women's voting rights, change did happen. The suffragettes continued steadily with numerous other protests until the 19th Amendment was finally passed in 1920. It took 7 years. In 1932, close to 20,000 veterans protested and demanded payment of the bonuses that they were guaranteed under a 1924 law. The protests lasted for weeks. President Hoover ordered the veterans to be removed, and two people died during the removal. The march, though, changed the country, prompting Congress to pass the GI Bill. So what lesson do we learn from these historical examples? That we shouldn't drop the ball? That change happens slowly with sacrifice, self-examination, patience, and endurance? Definitely. As I was preparing to do this commentary, I came across some very encouraging news. The march has galvanized a multiracial, millennial generation of potential women leaders. On January 21st, right after the march ended, organizers began a 4-hour pep rally and networking session, and they called it Where Do We Go From Here? The next day, Planned Parenthood held a training session for 2,000 organizers on how to turn mobilization into political action. Healthcare, by the way, is at the top of this group's list. And on a local level at Seton Hall, there are several people who continually write to their district congresspersons and senators to in effect say that we are not disappearing and we are waiting for the midterm elections to make our voices heard again. I'm Mildred Antenor.
I am woman.
Mildred Antenor is a social commentator, author, and a professor at Seton Hall University.